Morning scripture reading is in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. You can find this on pages 718 and 719 in the Bibles in front of you. This is the NIV version. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, and rough ground shall become level, and rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all the faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up to the high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And our second reading this morning is in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the word of God for us today.
Whether we know it or not, or remember it or not, is Advent season starting today. You can tell by this, our little Christmas decorating elves showed up yesterday, and we appreciate them and thank them, and you'll start seeing more and more over the next few weeks to get ready for the season. Let's pray together. Gracious God in heaven, I do thank you that the calendar once a year reminds us that we should stop and pay attention. Now, many people don't understand why. Don't recognize why. They think they do. They believe that they do. They go through the maelstrom of preparations and the noise and the commotion of the shopping and all the other things we do during this time of year. But every year this time, you remind the world to stop and pause because something different is about to happen. And I thank you that as your people, you give us the reminder of the truth of why it happens. That throughout the testimony of your word from beginning to end, the foretelling, the coming of Christ into this world, your Son, you yourself in the flesh, coming to offer us hope and love and peace through salvation, through your shed blood on the cross. A word of testimony of your faithfulness to us, that in spite of all the brokenness of our lives and world, you are still speaking to us to remind us that you are there, that your power, your presence walked with us each and every day, no matter what we are facing, whatever obstacle we are coming across, how difficult our world may seem to us personally or globally, God, you are still there. And every year our calendar reminds us of that truth. And I pray for all of us this morning that in whatever way we need to be reminded and renewed in that truth, that you would do so. That you are the God who is still there with us. You have not left the phone off the hook. You are still there to bring power and peace and all that we need in our life through the coming of your Son, Jesus, into this world. So, Lord, I pray for all those who are here this morning, for all those who are watching, for all those that we know who may need a word of encouragement, a word of comfort, a reminder that they are not alone. That you'd allow us to be the messengers of that message to them. To a broken and bruised world which continues this cycle of brokenness and bruisedness each and every day, day after day, day, year after year, week after week, it goes on. And yet we stop now to be reminded that the brokenness can be healed, the aloneness can be made whole, and eternity with you is possible. So I thank you, and I pray that you'd remind us this morning and each day, not just this season, but each day, of the power and the presence of your love through your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray, and we offer ourselves. And I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I said a few weeks ago that there's this new alliance of churches from Manchester over the seacoast who are joining together for the purpose of evangelism and discipleship of Rockingham County. This month during the Advent season, you're going to start seeing these signs up, hopefully between Manchester and the seacoast. Celebrate one Lord, one faith, one gift. Join the celebration. And churches who are joining together with us to proclaim one message of Christ coming to the world for hope and salvation between Manchester and the seacoast. So there are some of these yard signs out in the foyer. If you feel so inclined, take one, put it in your yard, put it on a street corner where you're allowed. But we want this message to go out from Manchester all the way to the ocean, that we are joined together because of Jesus to proclaim his love, his salvation, and his hope for all those who will listen. So those are available out there for you. Message today is for those who are gathered here who may need a word of comfort. And I don't know what's happening in your life, but chances are that there is somebody here today or somebody who is watching who needs to be reminded somehow in some way, shape, or form that God's comfort is available for them. And maybe it's because of the state of the world that we're in. We're still dealing with the same junk we were dealing with a year ago, the same crises worldwide in so many different ways. Maybe it's a crisis in your own family. Maybe it's a relationship with your kids or with your spouse, or maybe in your job, or just your own personal in turmoil that you're facing with it. Somehow in your life today that you need a word of comfort. So if that's the case for you, then this is for you this morning. I've made it known in the past that I don't sleep well, and I'm not sure I'm just in that chapter of life for whatever reason I don't sleep well. 4 a.m. is a late sleep for me. Last night was a particularly bad night's sleep where I went to bed early. We had a busy day, Diana, yesterday. Went to bed early and woke up in the middle of the night and said, okay, must be about time to wake up. Wake up. Rolled over, looked at the clock, and it was 12:02. And I was like, and I was wide awake. I mean, just middle of the day wide awake. I hate that. So after wrestling around for a few minutes, I got up out of bed and, trundled downstairs so I didn't wake up Diane too much. And after sort of like sitting on the couch trying to figure out what to do, had this aha moment and said, well, maybe you're supposed to be awake because maybe God wants to say something to you. So I opened up my Bible. I went to the passage that we're doing this morning. And I said, yeah, he does. And at 12:13 this morning, I rewrote this morning's message. And hopefully, I was listening to what was supposed to be going on this morning. Because reading Isaiah 40 last night at 12:13 a.m., the two first words that stood out for me, and just slapping in the face with the two front, the beginning words in the passage, comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord. Again, coming into this Advent season, there are so many people who are in need of comfort because of the brokenness of their lives, their world, their family, and their situation. So this is for you out of Isaiah. Thousands of years ago, God is speaking to you through him to us today. God's word is eternal, so he's still speaking to us. And I want to take us back to the other verse that Mark read for us this morning, John 3:16. We can put it back on the screen for us. Familiar verse. If you've been kicking around the church for any period of time, you all know this verse. You've seen it at football games. You memorize it maybe in some youth program, kids program. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. There's a word of comfort there. This Advent season, for the next four Sundays, we're going to be looking at this verse every week. So by the end of this month, you're going to know this verse if you don't know it already. And we're going to be using John 3:16 as our kickoff for every theme of Advent this month, leading up to the Christmas season. To remind us again that Advent is not this frantic season of gift buying and preparation we do so often, but Advent is meant to be a season of personal preparation to be reminded about why Christ did come into the world. We have so colored and changed the message of this season to having to be prepared for other people, to having to be prepared with the right gift, the right house, the right lights, and all this other stuff, but we have forgotten the core message of Advent, that God loved the world, and it is a time for us to be renewed and refreshed in that message again. That is a time for God's people to intentionally gather and be reminded of this gift of love that God has given us in Christ. John 3 comes about in a moment in Jesus' ministry where a teacher of the law, Nicodemus, if you don't know the story, comes to Jesus after seeing Jesus perform some miracles, hearing Jesus do some teaching, and being a Pharisee, being a teacher of the law, he has to come to Jesus in the middle of the night. If you haven't seen the new series that are out, The Chosen, sort of retelling the gospel stories, this is a great little vignettes of Jesus in real life, going with real people. I highly recommend it. But Nicodemus comes out to Jesus. Here's this teacher, this expert of the law, wanting to know more because in this man he sees and experiences something he hasn't known before in all his years of teaching. And he needs to know from Jesus, what is this all about? Because he's at a crossroads of his faith like many people are. About what he knew, Jesus was now revealing something totally brand new to him. And Jesus, like so many times in the Gospels, when he talks to somebody, he goes to that person and he meets that person where they are at. He doesn't ask them to come to him in terms of what he knows, but he goes to where he's at. Nicodemus, a teacher of the law, the Old Testament. Jesus goes back to the Old Testament and starts to talk to him from the Old Testament. He would have known the story of Moses and Exodus. He would have known Deuteronomy chapter 4. Because God loved your fathers, Nicodemus, he chose the descendants after them and brought you out of Egypt by his presence and great power. Because of God's love, he delivered your forefathers, Nicodemus. Because of God's love, he delivered his people out of Egypt. Because of God's love, he was with them and present. And he reaches back into Nicodemus's knowledge of his history to talk about the God of love. For many people, the idea of a God of love is a foreign idea. Maybe it was something that happened in your past as a kid or some other time in some other place. Maybe you're feeling right now that life has kicked you in the teeth too many times to say, I can't even begin to think about a God of love. But the message again is that God's love has always been there from the beginning of time, past, present, and will be. And Nicodemus, this teacher of the law, is trying to get this new understanding, this fresh understanding, and Jesus goes back to the Old Testament and said, the God of love who was with your people then. Nicodemus, that's what I'm talking about. That my love for my people has always been there. It's always been spoken. It hasn't been hiding, but is there for you today. For God so loved the world in the past, in the present, in the future. He continues to love. And that's the foundation for Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40. In his beginning words, when he starts saying just simply comfort and comfort, he is reminding the Jews again, God's people of his day, that God's love, his comfort is there for them. The Jews are in a time of captivity. They're in Babylon. They've been banished by God for 70 years because of their consistent cycle of following, rebellion, following, rebellion, following, rebellion, just like we do today. We follow for a while, we rebel. We follow for a while, rebel. And finally God says, I really need to teach you what it means to follow me. And he sends them into exile for 70 years. And now Isaiah is beginning to talk to them. God's talking to them through Isaiah to say, it's over. It's time. You're ready. Let's start again. And it's not a word of judgment and hope, warning, but it's a word of love and hope and a new future. because I love you. That's the message of Isaiah in Isaiah 40. So God's love, past, present, and future, beginning in Isaiah this morning. And we need to know first that God's love still speaks to us. God's love is still speaking to you. It spoke to his people in the Old Testament, to the New Testament. It does. God's love is still speaking. Isaiah 40 again, the first two words. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry to her that her warfare is ended. This is a nation that's been through so much strife and so much turmoil. Your warfare is ended. Your sin is pardoned that you've received from the Lord's hand. Double for your sins. It's over. It's time. The time to be restored is beginning. And these were people who are struggling, questioning, doubting, wondering. And the first words that God speaks to them again are comfort, a peace, a forgiveness. Nicodemus, God loved the world. God loved the world. Isaiah, to his people, I love you. Comfort them. Remind them of my love for them. And the comfort that he's talking about is not the comfort we sometimes use. I mean, we talk about comforting people today, and sometimes we say, well, that means, well, you know, I'll throw my arms around them and say, oh, there, life will be okay. Anyone ever do that to you? And meanwhile, you're still a broken mess inside. Meanwhile, your life's still in the pits, and someone just says, ah, it'll be okay, and they walk away because, you know, it's time to get the target for that sale. That's not the kind of comfort that God is talking about here through Isaiah. It was a command that says, wrap your arms around this person, the hurting one, and let them know all is forgiven. Everything's in the past. I am sorry for all that you have suffered. I know it's been hard, but now I need you to know that you're safe. And life's be about to begin again. I know you were lost, but you've been found. It's time to come home. It's the comfort you see in those tearful reunions on news when a child, it was a story this a few months ago, the kid down in the south, you know, lost in the woods for days, and some neighbor finds him, and the police bring him, and the mom and dad come running out of the house, and they throw their arms around the kid in tearful reunion. You're safe, you're back. That's the comfort that God's talking about here through Isaiah. It's not just simply a pat on the back and going your way, but it's, I've got you. You're safe. Home. You're loved. Your sin's been paid for. It's over. At this point, Jerusalem was in ruins. It's been devastated. It's been overrun. It's been ransacked. God's people were scattered. And God says, it's over. I've got you. You're mine. I forgive you. I don't know about your love, but sometimes my love keeps score. I keep track. I keep a scorecard of who's hurt me and how many times, and that sort of mental scorecard sort of keeps tallying in the back of my mind to see if that person has lived up to fulfill that tally mark in the back of my mind sometimes. God's love doesn't keep score, and that's what he says here. And that's one of the great reasons he says comfort is speaking these words of comfort to his people to say, I have forgiven your sins. It is over. I have forgotten them. It's time to move forward again, and I am with you. We keep score, God forgets. He forgives, and he allows us to build a bridge to him and have that bridge renewed. Jerusalem had built a wall to God by their sin. God has built a bridge to them for forgiveness, redemption, to restore them. Your warfare has ended, Jerusalem. The battle is over with. Your sin is forgiven. I'm giving you a brand new identity. We're about to start all over again. just as he does with us every single time we come back to him. A new identity through Christ. I have forgiven. It's time to begin again. Come into my arms and let's move forward together. Coming to this Advent season, God's love is speaking words of comfort to you to give you a fresh start and to give others a fresh start through you as well, because his words of comfort are not just for us, but it's for us to pour out into the lives of others. God's love also demonstrates that his love is real. Go on to this next section of Isaiah. It says, a voice cries. You know, we read it like New England Puritans. You know, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way. Yeah. A voice cries. The wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of God has spoken. That's not a message to whisper. It's not a message to mumble, but God says to Isaiah, to his people, shout it out. The wilderness, in the middle of your wilderness. And again, we talked about this last week with Joseph. In the middle of the prison, God spoke to said, I'm with you. In the middle of his despair, God spoke to Joseph, said, I am with you. In the middle of your wilderness, God says, I am making the road back to me possible. Amen. And when I do, you will see my glory. See, Advent, again, is a season of preparation. Again, not the buying frenzy or the shopping frenzy or the cooking frenzy or the decorating frenzy. I see those shows on TV, the reality shows, and they really just annoy me. World's best holiday cooking. World's best holiday light show. The world's best gift wrapping show. I hate those shows. So I look at my house and I feel miserable. Men, don't you thank God for gift bags at Christmas? Thank you. I do. I'm a terrible wrapper. And I see some of these amazing wrappings, amazing. I look at the cookies I make. They don't look like anything. Why do I serve these? These are embarrassing. I don't need to be embarrassed by TV. I embarrass myself enough. It's a season. Advent's a season of preparation. That God is not just speaking, but he is demonstrating his love for us. And he warns us that it's coming. That's the word from Isaiah again. In the wilderness, in the middle of your desolation, let the word be known that I'm coming back to you. That was John the Baptist's ministry before he came out, when he came out before Jesus came. John goes back to the words of Isaiah again. John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. God is coming. He is coming into your life and to your world. Pay attention, and I am here to proclaim it. And maybe you're in the wilderness in your life right now, in a relationship in your life, in your job or health. Maybe you're feeling like you're wandering or just wondering what's going on. That's where Israel was. They had thought that God had left the phone off the hook again. They've been wandering now for all this time. And God says, I'm about to not just tell you about my love, but to demonstrate it in tangible ways. These were people who were in exile, separated by their home by a desert. In the middle of the desert, I'm now saying, come back. I am preparing a way for you to come back. When John the Baptist shows up on the scene, there have been 400 years of silence. God had stopped speaking to his people in judgment. And now John is saying again, hey, in your wilderness of silence of hearing from God, pay attention because God's coming back again, and I'm here to let you know that he's coming back. That's Advent season. God's on the move. He's on his way. He's coming back into your hearts again. Isaiah, to his people, God is coming back to the broken city of Jerusalem. God is coming back to his people. God is coming back to deliver you home. Are you ready? Right where you are, in the wilderness, get yourselves ready. In the middle of your brokenness, get yourself ready. In the middle of your wondering, if you're wandering, get yourselves ready. God is on the move. And he is demonstrating his love by making the way back to himself easy to find and possible. prepare the way, make it straight, is our job. That's the biblical word of repentance. I turn around from where I'm going, and I now turn around and face and start moving towards God. Israel had been in their situation because of the rebellion to God. And God's now saying, I'm on the move. Now you turn around and start heading back to me, but I'm ready. I'm here, and I'm making my way back to me possible. Jesus, at the beginning of Mark's gospel, he says, now after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, I'm here, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, turn around and believe in the gospel. Head toward me. God, I'm heading toward you, I'm here, now you turn around and head toward me. See, Advent is that reminder again that God is on the move and we should be as well back toward him to change the direction of our life, our vision, our focus, and head back toward him because God loves us. He is moving toward us and he calls us to move toward him. God's love, Isaiah says, has pardoned and now we head back to him. And not just simply on a little path, but on a highway, an easy way that God has laid out for us. One of the carols we will sing over the next Advent season, Joy to the World. Now, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. There's the message. God is here. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room and heaven and nature sing. Get ready. God's on the move. And he calls us to be on the move toward him. And when I look and I see him, here's what I see. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. God in all of his majesty will be seen by you and by me. If we turn toward him, come to him, he will receive us with open arms and you will see God in all of his glory. Paul in 1 Corinthians says, you know, we only see in a mirror darkly now. We only see a little bit of God's glory, but we're told that one day you and I, we will see God in all of his glory and all of his splendor. It's what Peter, James, and John saw on the Mount of the Transfiguration when they fell down and worshiped Jesus as Jesus showed up in all of his full glory and they fell down and said, oh, Jesus, we just have to worship you. It's what all the world will face one day in the book of Revelation when Christ comes back for the second time, seeing Jesus in all of his glory. You'll either fall down to worship or be condemned and sent away. But everyone will see Christ in all of his glory one day. Seeing Jesus as he is, not who we make him out to be. And God demonstrates his love by letting us see him as he is and invites us to come. You may be in the desert right now, but God says, you'll see my glory. I'm on the move. And I'm moving towards you. God's love also endures, Isaiah says. And this is a conversation happening here in these next few verses. And you have to picture two people who are going back and forth here. A voice says, cry out. And Isaiah says, well, what should I cry? And the voice tells him, well, here's what you should say. All flesh is grass. The beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But, and I told you over and over again, whenever there is a but in scripture in a verse, pay attention, God's about to say something. But the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. It was almost 16 years that Diane and I moved to down to Nottingham to our home. We had been commuting from Maine, where I was before. Beginning of October, we started here. And for 2 months, we were commuting. I was going back and forth each day for 2 months. And we finally said, okay, we got to get down to Raymond. We have to get down to the area. Just going back and forth isn't working. We have to find a house. So we gave our realtor the challenge. Okay, we need to be a house. We need to be in there by Christmas. If anyone ever deals real estate, they say, oh, yeah, fat chance. We saw a house that God had led us to. We really believe God had led us to this house. We saw it on December 1st. We made an offer on December 1st and said, okay, here's the deal. We want to be in 2 weeks because we want to be set up for Christmas. I said, you can't do that. You can't close on a house in 2 weeks. It's not a chance. But I love a challenge. 10 days later, the moving van backed up to our house and unloaded us into our house in Nottingham. I said, okay, we promised our kids we'd be in for Christmas. So 10 days in December 10th, the truck's unloaded, the house is erect. Okay, we have to find a Christmas tree. We didn't know where we were going. drove out of our street, took a right, and said, oh, look, place selling Christmas trees. So we grabbed a Christmas tree, put it up in the house. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you before. Tree looked great, put the lights on it. 2 days later, the remnants of the tree were on the ground. Circle of pine needles. 2 days in the house, it's dying. And what do? You got to leave the tree up. You're not going to start all over again. Everything in our world dies. Sorry, newsflash. Everything dies. Batteries die. Clothes die. Trees die. Grass dies. Flowers die. You and I die. All of our life is temporary. Here's a picture I found. This is the called the Prometheus stump. Can you see that? This tree was estimated to be over almost 5,000 years old. It was found in eastern Nevada. In 1964, some grad student went out into the forest and decided it'd be a great idea to cut down this tree. So that's the remnants of a 5,000-year-old tree in the United States, because somebody thought it was a good idea.
I didn't know it was 5,000 years old
when I cut it down. Everything in our world dies. Everything we know, everything we hold on to, everything we live for will pass, except, pay attention to the but, the word of the Lord stands forever. Amen. The same words God spoke to Isaiah still speak to us today. The same words that Jesus spoke still speak to us today. Now, some people have tried to be clever with it and turn that around and say, well, don't put a period where God has put a comma. God is still speaking. When you hear those phrases, your hackles should go up, because what people are saying is they're trying to now accommodate God's word to their life situation. Instead of allowing our lives to accommodate ourselves, accommodate itself to God's word. The same word God spoke 2,000 years ago is still the same truth God is speaking to us today. It hasn't changed. We are called to change to fit God's word. We are not called to fit God's word to my life. Amen. And change it so we are comfortable. And that's what's going on there. Pay attention to that. It's a rationalization to make my life comfortable so I am not confronted with the truth of what God is saying in Scripture. Every single person has a bottom line for truth in your life. You do. We have a bottom line for truth. One of our bottom lines for truth here at Raymond Baptist, all Scripture is God-breathed, profitable for teaching, for reproof, correcting, and training in righteousness. God's word doesn't change. We stand on that truth. And the enduring ability of God's word to stay the same allows me to trust in his love that he speaks throughout the ages, because it doesn't change. It gives me stability in an unstable world. And my life will always be unstable because I'm an unstable person, and you know what? You are too. We all are, because we're broken. We're not perfect. Our life gets pushed around and jostled around and nudged around by every sort of thing that can happen. The stability comes from finding that foundation that doesn't move. And Isaiah says to his people then and to us now, everything's going to die. Grass dies, flowers die, they all fade away, your life dies, your life. But God's word stays the same. Every other life we will love in our life will always be unstable because we're unstable. But God's love is never unstable because he doesn't change. His word doesn't change. His love doesn't change. Amen. And that's something I need to hold on to. When my world always feels like it changes. My relationships always feel like they're changing. My perspective always feels like it's changing. My attitude always feels like it's changing. My heart always feels like it's changing. God's doesn't. And that's love. And God's love also gathers and protects. In this last part of Isaiah, starting in verse 9. Again, Ken, great song this morning. Go up on high on a mountaintop. Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up and fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, now, and you have to get the image in the mind again, God telling Isaiah, go up to the top of the mountain and try to speak to people who are down below. You can't do that whispering. He says, go up to the top of the mountain, say to the cities of Jerusalem, Judah, behold your God. Don't be quiet about it. Behold, the Lord God comes with might. His arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms as that comfort again, that gathering. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is the final word of comfort that God gives to us through Isaiah. It was a call to God's people, from God's people. It was a call to the world around to speak with courage, to say that God has come. Behold, God is here. That is the message of Advent that comes into our calendar year after year after year after year after year. It's not the Black Friday sales at Best Buy, but it's that God has come. Amen. It is an enduring, it is a message which sustains itself over time. God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus, who has come to protect, come to gather, come to carry, come to save, come to love. And this Advent season, God calls out to us, to us, and through us to let other people know that he is here. Long after Jesus' death, John the Apostle wrote these words in 1 John. He says, by this, not the gift you're about to buy, although that's good. Not the meal you're about to cook, although that's good. Not all the other things we sometimes do, which is good. But by this you will know what is love, that he laid down his life. Jesus laid down his life for us. That's the model. That's the example. That's what we are called to follow. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers, that's you and me. That our life, our giving for each other, is a sacrificial giving based upon the sacrificial giving of Christ. The idea about I'm going to give until I'm comfortable giving, that doesn't wash in God's economy of love and of gift giving. Because Jesus was willing to give his life as a sacrifice for my life, God calls me as a sacrifice of my life to provide and to give towards you. And I do it out of love, not out of guilt, not out of any other motivation, but because God has loved me so much to sacrifice himself for me, I am willing to sacrifice all that I am and all that I have and all that I will be in order to help you in your life. That's a gift of love I can live with, that I can trust, that I can appreciate. I mean, how many gifts do you get at Christmas that you open it up and 5 minutes later you forgot, you say, well, that was a waste. Or better yet, I'll wrap it and I'll give it to Bob next year. He'll never know it's a re-gift. Don't tell him. God's love isn't a re-gift. It's a real gift. It's a sacrifice gift. And it's the same sacrifice kind of gift he calls us to do for one another. The Bible speaks very little about personal rights. It speaks a whole lot about personal responsibility. Amen. And the greatest responsibility is my sacrificial giving of my life, all that God has given me, for somebody else. And the greatest gift is the gift given in love, to lay down our lives for somebody else, because that's what God has done for us. I'm not sure what Nicodemus took away in that conversation with Jesus that night. But we knew now in the Gospels that later on it made an impact, because he defends Jesus to the ruling council. When Jesus is dead, it is Nicodemus who helps prepare Jesus' body for burial. But I have to think it started with this one night, this conversation, this relationship. It started not with a theological debate, but the words, for God so loved. And if you are here because you are tired, you are weary, you need comfort, that's God's message for you today. Isaiah 40 ends with this amazing passage of scripture, and we'll close with this. The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Are you weak? God's power is there for you. Even youth grow tired and weary, young men stumble and fall, but those who hope on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run. They will not be weary. They will run. They will not be weary. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. That's the promise of God's love that he gives to you. That in the middle of your brokenness, your tiredness today, God's love gives you comfort to keep going. So this Advent season, lead with love. And not leftovers. Because God led in love and comfort for you. And that may mean the hardest person, the most difficult person in your family. You start there. Because that's what God has done for each of us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I hope and pray that this was not me, but you, somewhere in all this, but your word is here. And for those of us who need comfort, who need hope, who need that affirmation, may we stand on the enduring word of your truth, that you haven't changed, your love hasn't changed, your promise hasn't changed, Jesus hasn't changed. So I pray you speak a word of healing and of hope and comfort to all those who might need it this morning. And as you do so for us, may we do so for others around us. And for that difficult person who may be in my life, who you may be calling me to do that with, may I know that you give me the power and strength to do it. And I thank you for that in Christ's name.